I started drinking as a Christian. I started drinking when I realized that drinking in and of itself wasn't a sin. Yeah. So when I realized that it's not what goeth in a man that defiles him, the scripture says, but it's that which coming out of the man that defiles him. So it's, in a sense, it's the behavior that it causes. That's the sin.
Wow, that is such a cool song. And by the way, if you don't know it, that song is called Kingdom, right? Marcus?
This is Kingdom.
All right, and that's Marcus himself on there that made that music. So we really like that.
Thank you, sir.
So that gets us pumped up for our show.
Yes, sir.
Before
yes,
we ever start. So listen, everybody, I just want to welcome you back. Thank you for coming back. And I know you hear this on every single podcast, but we do rely on you liking whatever show you see. And if you like it, by the way, please like it. And don't forget to subscribe. That, more importantly than anything else, that really helps us out a lot. Okay. So welcome back, as I said, to our show. The last show we had, if you didn't see it, I encourage you to see it. The topic was, is sex before marriage a sin? Really a sin? Okay, so that was pretty good. We had some good repartee on that one, huh?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
That's right. So listen, if this is your first time watching, my name is Roy Resto.
I'm Marcus Martin.
I am Salt.
And I'm Pepper.
Welcome to the Salt and Pepper Show. All right, we thought that a little fun with that. Anyway, so Marcus, what are we going to be talking about today? What's the topic?
We're going to come from a famous philosopher. To drink or not to drink, that is the question.
I suspect you were the philosopher there.
So, yeah, definitely we're going to talk about, should Christians drink? Is it okay for them to drink? All of those things will be addressed today.
Wow.
So I think it's only fitting for us to start with talking with Mr. Roy here so he can kind of give us his testimony about his interactions with the realm of being drinking and all of those things that could come on the negative side and how God is able to deliver. Because then we'll talk more about what the Bible says. So go for it, Roy.
Okay. All right. So I won't take too long with this story, but I think it will resonate with a lot of you out there. I grew up in a Latino family. All right. And drinking is part of the culture, you know, so it was common, you know, when the families get together, you know, the men are all sitting together and smoking and drinking. The kids all playing somewhere else and the women are in the kitchen cooking up a storm that we're all waiting for, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I was growing up, if I had a cold, okay, if you had a cold and you're coughing and sneezing, it was funny for the men to give you a shot of rum,
mm-hmm.
okay? They say, hey, Roy. You know, now you're just a little small kid, right? You're not even halfway to the drinking age.
Mm-hmm.
Have this. This will really help you,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they give you I take a shot of rum. And, of course, you're a little kid. You start coughing and everybody's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did it for the laughs than anything else,
uh-huh.
you know?
Uh-huh.
But I'm just trying to tell you the kind of culture I personally grew up in. Anyway, later on, and some other show will probably give testimonies about how we came to Christ and the Lord. But later on, after I became a Christian and was living for the Lord, the issue of drinking was still around,
mm-hmm.
okay? And in my mind, I was seeing, you know, I personally had a pastor that he had some grapes on the vine and he would make wine out of that and give the wine out to everybody. And I remember going with my wife, Veronica. We were in a restaurant one time, and there was this famous speaker that was in the restaurant, a very well-known speaker on TV all the time. And she was having a big glass of wine with this guy. So in my mind, I'm up there thinking, it's, you know, just keeping in control, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it should be okay, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's how I thought about it. Now, Marcus, in the last show, you used this scripture twice.
Mm-hmm.
We never quoted the scripture. But it's from Proverbs 6:27. And this is where I'm coming from on this topic.
Okay.
And then we'll after my testimony, we can get into the discussion of everything, right? But you said twice on there, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So for me, that fire was the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I thought, like all alcoholics, I had it under control. I'm good, you mm-hmm. know, just on the weekends, just in social settings and whatever. But, you know, pressures of life come upon you, you know, problems come upon you, and I resorted to drinking. I kept on saying over and over again to myself, you know, I got this in control. It got out of control, all right?
Yeah.
It got out of control. I couldn't come to call myself an alcoholic, all right? And every alcoholic knows, if you've been delivered from it, there's a point where you deny that you're an alcoholic. Okay? And we call that the blind spot, right? That's a blind spot. If you ever take personality tests, there's like four parts of your personality. One of them is the aspect of your personality that others can detect, but you don't detect, right? That's called the blind spot. And the blind spot was, Roy, you got a drinking problem. And I'm saying, no, I got this, okay? And I was busy driving. I was busy doing all the things I'm supposed to. I was a working alcoholic, man. And it got out of control. It came to a point where I said, you know, this is definitely out of control. I acknowledge it. I got a problem, okay? And everybody was praying for me, my friends, particularly my wife, whom I love very much, and she stayed with me, man. A lot of people would have bailed. A lot of people would have bailed, okay? A lot of mates would have bailed from their mates exhibiting these behaviors, okay? And she stayed with me, so I love my wife, Veronica, very much. But I was praying constantly, Lord, I need to be delivered from this. Lord, I need to be delivered from this. Lord, I need to be delivered from this. I would pray that, okay? And one weekend after, you know, if you ask a lot of people that are in society, when did you do the most stupidest things in your life? You know, where you look back and you say, I don't even want to mention those stupid things that I did. Alcohol was probably involved, okay?
And that was me, all right?
So after one particular weekend where I did some things I was embarrassed about under the influence, I remember I was at work one day. I said, I'm leaving work. I'm going home. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, right now I need to be delivered from this. And boom, right on the spot, I got delivered from it.
Wow.
I never drank again. I haven't drank a drop. Okay. And so the Lord delivered. I didn't have withdrawal symptoms at all. You know how people, then when they're alcoholics, you have withdrawal symptoms, okay? And it was so certain, okay, that I can be around people that are drinking, and it doesn't bother me, okay? I was still in the military, you know, with my friends and stuff and being deployed and stuff, and they say, oh, Roy, we're going to go out clubbing. Can you be the designated driver? I said, sure, man. And everyone's bringing you all these non-alcoholic drinks all night. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to be in the bathroom all night long. Stop bringing me this stuff, right? You're the designated driver. But anyway, so I got delivered from that. And I was a Christian the whole time. And I was embarrassed by that behavior. So I'm just going to end that, and we can open it up for the broader discussion by saying, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Okay, so I had that fire in my bosom. I got burned.
Yeah. So for me, my testimony is slightly different. My testimony is where I started drinking as a Christian. I started drinking when I realized that drinking in and of itself wasn't a sin. Yeah. So when I realized that it's not what goeth in a man that defiles him, the scripture says, but it's that which cometh out of the man that defiles him. So it's, in a sense, it's the behavior that it causes that's the sin. Now, for example, some people don't have erratic behavior when they drink. Some people can drink wine all day. It doesn't affect them. But I know people personally that they can have a small amount of alcohol and it presents like mental illness. I mean, out of control. I think there's different elements to it. There's your physical acceptance of the alcohol. And I think also we have to understand that there are consequences to everything. Something can be a sin, cannot be a sin, but still have consequences, right?
For sure.
For example, we look at Adam and Eve. We look at the circumstance that they partook of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? They committed a sin, but there was consequences attached to their sin, right? So any time we do something that goes against nature or goes against God, there's going to be consequences. Even when there's an act that's not a sin, there can be consequences. So, for example, if you overdrink, what'll happen? If you overdrink, you can get drunk.
Yep.
You can make mistakes. You can do things that you don't remember doing. You can even end up harming your relationship and family situations. You can end up driving and harming and taking someone's life.
For sure.
So I think that we have to understand that even though that is the reason that God put boundaries on certain things. And I mentioned this in the last podcast. What would happen if the ocean didn't have boundaries? We would have a flood or a tsunami. It's the same concept. The scripture never tells you not to drink. The scripture tells you not to tarry long. The scripture tells you not to gaze at the wine. What does it mean by gaze? When you gaze at something, it means that that thing has your complete and total attention. I cannot gaze at you and drive my car. I will hit something. And so what it's really saying is that it cannot be a thing that has your complete and total attention.
Right? Wow. That's pretty cool. You mentioned some scriptures there. I want to mention some scriptures too. First of all, Marcus said that the Bible doesn't come out and say explicitly that drinking is a sin. So we need to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be clear about that for sure. On the other hand, there is a distinction drawn between drinking and drunkards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was a drunkard. Okay. And even people that I know that are not alcoholics, mm-hmm. Marcus, that are not alcoholics,
mm-hmm.
okay, they will get into situations where they drink too much. Mm-hmm. They're obviously drunk.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear it in their speech, you know, the way they walk, you know, the way they're representing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we need to be careful about that.
Absolutely.
So let me share a couple of scriptures with you. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Now, this is not Roy's opinion. I'm just reading to you from scripture. Check mm-hmm. this out yourselves. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty strong medicine right there.
It is.
Okay, that's not Roy's opinion. Mm-hmm. Check it out yourself. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:8, on the other hand, we're not talking about drunkards here, but it says deacons.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, have you ever attended a church that had deacons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever deek?
No, I didn't.
I did, too. I attended a church with deacons, and I always looked up to them. I said, oh, these are the next to the pastor. They're the pastor's friends. And I always thought it was funny that they said their duties are, I'm deeking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a funny word. But anyway, 1 Timothy 3:8 says, deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued,
mm-hmm.
not addicted to much wine,
mm-hmm.
not greedy for dishonest gain. So there, it's saying that deacons who are leaders in the church, it doesn't say not to drink. It says not addicted to much wine. Right. So we have to make a distinction what the Bible says about drunkards. Clearly, mm-hmm. it says what's going to be the outcome of being a drunkard as opposed to not addicted to much wine.
Yeah. And I think our body has something to do with what, when you cross over the line from being, from partaking and to being a drunkard. Someone like me, I'm 6'5", 265 pounds. I might be able to partake more than another person and won't see any effects in my behavior. I think that the clear line is when you become a drunkard is when your behavior or your personality changes, right? Because why would you partake in anything that changes who God created you to be? So when you start to do things or say things that you wouldn't otherwise do or say, then you've drank too much.
I agree with that. And you know, just to support what you're saying there, Proverbs 20:1, let me just go ahead and read that to you. And by the way, Proverbs is the book of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to gain wisdom, I heard a person say this, you know, I'm lacking wisdom. I'm going to ask God for some wisdom. Then do all you can to study the book of Proverbs,
mm-hmm.
okay, in the Old Testament. Anyway, so there's a lot in Proverbs about drinking. So let's read Proverbs 21:20 and verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker.
Mm-hmm.
Strong drink is a brawler, mm-hmm. and whoever is led astray by it mm-hmm. is not wise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it doesn't say that whoever is led astray by it is not wise. What it's really saying is when you drink, there's going to be changes in your personality, and you're going to be led astray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and your decision-making is not going to be there.
No.
Okay. No. You know, I'm going to tell you this because it happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to my drinking experience is that I tell people that have been delivered or are about to be delivered from alcoholism.
Yeah.
Okay. I tell them, when you get delivered from alcoholism, you know what's the first thing you're going to notice? The first thing you're going to notice is a new clarity in your thoughts. You're going to say, oh my gosh, it's like I'm in the light right now. A clarity that you didn't see before.
Absolutely.
Right? Because like it says in Proverbs 20, you're being led astray by the drinking. There's no question that you change in your personality. There's something that's going to change. Okay? And so you need to be the decision maker on that. Not us, but you need to be the decision maker on that.
I want to read a scripture that I think helped me a lot. Romans 14 and 14 through the 20th verse. It says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. I'm going to stop there. I think we have to understand that drinking in and of itself is not unclean. It is unclean to them who esteem it to be unclean. So this is a personal walk we have with Christ.
There you go.
There are things that are universal in God. There are things that are sin universal. This is a sin for everybody, but there are things that are sin by circumstance. And so, in other words, he said, oh, it's okay for you to drink if you're not drunk. But if you're drinking around someone who has an issue with drinking, then you're sinning. He said, it's okay to not eat meat. It's okay to consider meat to be bad. But you can't go and judge other people because they eat meat. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
And so I think the whole of this understanding is this, is that we cannot take our personal testimony and make it law. And that's what tends to happen. It tends to happen in the church. Whatever we struggle with, we make it law. We make it the commandments of God, right? And there are things that when it comes and pertains to God and pertains to our personal relationship with God, it is personal.
So are you saying, so for an example of that would be if I said, well, I got delivered from alcohol and therefore anybody who drinks alcohol is a sinner.
Yep.
That's what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay. I don't count myself in that.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Or it could be the sin of
but it's possible.
Me drinking crazy amounts of alcohol in front of you, knowing that that's something that you've been asked to stop. If you think about it, Samson was a Nazirite. Samson was asked not to take a razor upon his head.
Right.
But we can get haircuts. It was a personal vow. It was a personal thing with him and his relationship with God.
Not a universal.
It was not a universal. So everything that we do is not, everything is not universal. He was told not to to take any wine or alcohol. But that is not a universal thing. We have personal things that God has asked us to refrain from, whether it be because of our physical condition, whether it be because of our mental condition. Maybe we just have addictive traits, right? Some people just don't have addictive traits like that in certain areas. They might have it in other areas. You know, you might have one person who doesn't drink at all, or they can drink and stop anytime they want, but they can't stop watching pornography.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have our areas, and God will ask us to make vows and to stop certain things. And oftentimes it's personal and not universal.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I got that. Yeah. Yep. I got that. Anyway, Lord forbid that I would ever say that drinking was a sin.
Yeah.
You know, if you just had a beer, you know, or whatever. On the other hand,
yeah.
For my Christian friends out there who feel that it's not a sin to drink and that's okay. And to have the occasional wine or whatever you're doing. Okay. Mm-hmm. It appears you seem to be inferring. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. On the other hand, I would ask my Christian friends to be careful about the example they're setting for other people that are weak.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's what happened to me. All right, when I was rationalizing in my brain about drinking, I saw this famous speaker drinking in a restaurant. Okay, I had a pastor who was busy making wine. So in my mind, that was the basis for my rationalization of my behaviors when I took that fire into my bosom. Okay. So just be careful So, you know, you read from Romans, right?
Yeah.
And the same chapter, verse 21, Romans 14, 21 says, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine.
Yes.
Or do anything that causes your brother to stumble.
Stumble, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So you've got to give that some thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're at home with your spouse, you know, and you're having a nice, nice dinner and you're drinking wine, it's unlikely you're going to affect anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I don't have any problems with that behavior, but out in public, you know, at a sports event and stuff like that. And I'm going to take it one more step beyond that. Okay. There are critics out in the world of Christians, whatever, mm-hmm. right? There are.
Absolutely.
And they're going to criticize regardless of our behaviors, right? They're critics.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
They're looking for anything. All right? And when those critics, when they see a Christian drinking, you know, they're saying, aha, that guy says he's a Christian, but look at him drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a wino or an alcoholic, you know, and he calls himself a Christian. All right. So there's going to be people like that. I know. Okay. If you guys are aware with, like, say, Muslims, for example. Okay. They're very strict about not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. More so than Christians will ever be.
That's true.
And so lots of times I've deployed around the world or I've gone visiting in Muslim countries. You don't see bars.
No.
Okay.
No.
You go to the stores, they don't sell beer. They don't sell wine. They don't sell alcohol there, right? They're very strict about it.
Uh-huh.
And so when I see a person that's a Muslim drinking, the first thing I do is I say, you know, what kind of Muslim are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to consider that as Christians as well.
Yeah.
If we're wearing that on our sleeves saying, I love the Lord and I'm, you know, is somebody going to take that against you when they see you drinking?
Yeah. And that's, you know, it reminds me of when Jesus said, when John came eating, you said that he was a demon. And he said, when my disciples fasted, you know, so I felt like there's always a look in on Christianity. Always. There's always going to be a look in. There's always
that magnifying glass is always there.
You call them a demon. So, you know, there's always going to be a magnifying glass that's placed on us. We just have to be aware that Christ is being premiered and not us, and we're not representing ourselves. And I think if we keep that in forefront of our minds, that we'll behave in a way that that pleases Him and does not embarrass the kingdom.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just be careful about it.
Absolutely.
And we get drawn into it. We get drawn into those drinking situations. And before you know it, we're embarrassed or drunk or setting a bad example for somebody, you know, at a sporting event, you know, or I mentioned that a couple of times, you know. So just like with drugs, there's gateway drugs.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a topic for another one, you know, but there's gateway drugs like pot, you know, smoking marijuana, whatever you want to call it, whatever's the latest term for marijuana, you know, THC or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's a gateway drug. A lot of people are saying, man, let's legalize pot, you know. And the whole thing with medical thing and pot,
mm-hmm.
that was a Trojan horse to come in to legalize drugs, okay? So that was a Trojan horse, in my opinion. Now, why did I mention that? Is there's some of us Christians that say, you know what, beer.
Mm-hmm.
I think every alcoholic started off with beer.
Mm-hmm.
Every drug addict started off with pot,
yep.
you know, with marijuana, okay? Yep. And so do not rationalize your behavior saying, oh, it's just beer. Who cares? It's beer.
Yeah. And I think there's an agenda. There's an agenda to keep us not focused and not seeing what's happening in this world.
I agree.
Because I noticed that even during the COVID season, there were a lot of businesses that closed down. And even the latter part of COVID, we were living in Minnesota, and they said, these are essential businesses. I'm like, the liquor store is an essential business. What?
Right. And the churches were being told
you're
to close down.
Closing the church.
The strip club, they were told they were essential.
Yeah. I don't know how that would be essential. So it's like there's something behind the whole, this, you know, this world that wants us to not focus on God and the kingdom of God. And if that's a distraction for you, you should set it aside. The Bible says to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that's set before us. A weight It's not a sin, but it could be a problem.
Wow.
It could hinder your ability to run, move, walk in the speed that you normally would. And that sounds like alcohol to me, because ain't nobody doing no foot race when they drunk. If they do, they're going to end up on their face.
Right.
And so I think that we have to understand that there is a difference between a weight and a sin. And a weight can introduce himself and become a sin later. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we've been talking quite a long time about this. So let's arrive at some conclusions over here before we get out of the show. And once again, I'd like to encourage everybody, please, 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 if you like our show, please hit those like buttons, particularly to subscribe. That really blesses us, okay? Because this is a production. We got to pay for it, okay? So we're not asking you for money handouts or anything, but that would help.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not against that, but I'm just trying to tell you it's not needed. But certainly hitting the subscription buttons would help us a lot. All right, so we've presented both sides over here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of saying I don't think you should get into it for the reasons I mentioned, but it's not a sin. And you?
Pretty much the same. I feel like for some it's a huge issue. And I think it's better to just not get involved with it at all. Because there's so many other elements. There's a reason why they call it spirits.
Oh my gosh. I was going to mention that and I didn't.
Yeah. There's so many other elements. If you look up the word alcohol when you get a chance.
Okay. Now, what would that reveal?
It will reveal a demonic spirit that's involved.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So I don't want to get off into it, but.
There's that possibility. That possibility cannot be overlooked.
Yeah. You know, because we can get over into conspiracy or we can get over into all of that. I don't want to do that on this channel, but just take a look at it and you'll see some similarities and you'll see that, wow, this is how I behave. This is why this is happening. And so there's some purity involved. We got to think about when they were drinking wine, they were making this wine themselves. This wasn't no mass produced wine that was made in factories that had people influencing it that we don't see. They made wine. They had farms. They made this wine themselves. They stepped on it. They crushed it. They did it themselves. So there are different elements. And I tell people all the time, culture affects the Bible. Culture affects the way we view the Bible. They are not flying airplanes right now. So the Bible doesn't say anything about airplanes. They weren't flying airplanes then, I meant to say.
Right.
So the Bible doesn't say anything about airplanes. So when you are applying the word of God to now, there are some nuances that have to be looked at to just apply it like a rubber stamp. You can't
gotcha.
Do it.
I agree with that.
So
I agree with that. Well, I think we'd like to conclude over here by saying you've heard both sides of the story. We're not saying drinking is a sin. We're not saying to stop drinking. Give it some thought. As Marcus has said, it depends on the individual person. Okay? Yeah. All right. And if some of you have problems with drinking, if you ever get there, call upon the Lord. Get down on your knees. Close that door. Get into your prayer closet and pray and pray and pray. Lord, deliver me from drugs. The Lord, deliver me from alcohol as well. And he'll do the same for you.
He can do it. Let's pray for him, right?
Yeah, that's right. Marcus, I think that was a good time.
So if this is you and you feel like there's a major monkey on your shoulders that you need the help of God with, I want you to bow your heads and I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that individual that's watching this broadcast that said to themselves, I need help. I can't stop drinking. Father, I pray that you would visit them even as we pray.
Yes.
That you would visit them now and that deliverance would be their portion.
Ooh, yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. God, that you would see them where they are and that you would pull them up in the mighty name of Jesus. That you would remove the taste of alcohol from their mouth. That you would change their appetite. And that they would never reach back to it again, that they would get up right now and begin to pour out every alcoholic beverage that they have in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Yes. We pray, God, that these are not empty prayers, but we serve and we petition a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that you have caused to work in us. And so we thank you now. In the name of Jesus for what you've done and what you're about to do, deliverance in Jesus' name.
That's
Amen.
Right. And everybody, I've said it before, Marcus, I used to call him Pastor Marcus all the time because he used to be a pastor, but he's heavily involved in ministry. He does a lot of public speaking at a lot of different churches. Feel free to reach out to him. And if you ever need a guest speaker at your church, I know you guys will be blessed for sure. But being he's a former pastor, I'd like to, will you just pray also and for people that may want to come to know Christ?
Absolutely. I want you to just repeat after me. If you are wanting to give your life to the Lord, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, forgive me for all of my sins. My sins are ever before me, but I know that you are God that can forgive my sins. And I place my sins in your hands, and I repent for every one of them. The ones I know about, the ones I don't know about. God, I repent for all of my sins. And according to your word, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I am saved. The Bible declares, for with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes.
So the angels of heaven are rejoicing now.
That's right.
You are now a believer. Welcome to the kingdom of
God. Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
I will drink some premium coffee. I like premium coffee, right? Premium coffee. So I'm going to drink to that.
Drink to that.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you guys. Take care.
Bless you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done.